Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, as you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Acts, where we've been following the Apostle Paul's defense before the rulers. And now as we continue with our study entitled, Sailing with Paul and Jesus, we'll be following his perilous journey to Rome as we pick up in Acts chapter 27 verse 1 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
We pick up now with really the final episode of the book of Acts, Paul's journey to the city of Rome. Now remember, Jesus had told Paul that he would testify for him in Rome. Now Paul had wanted to go to Rome, and so now his opportunity has come, but it wasn't the way he thought it was going to be. He had actually planned to go to Jerusalem, deliver the gift from the Gentile churches to the churches in Judea, and then just journey back toward Rome. But it was in Jerusalem that he was arrested. But he's still going to Rome, even though it wasn't the way he originally planned to go. And so when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. Now Luke, of course, is the author here, and Luke is part of this party. So Aristarchus and Luke both journey with Paul to Rome. And so the next day, we landed at Sidon. So evidently, they set sail from Caesarea, and now they've sailed up north to Sidon in the area of Lebanon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and to receive care. And when we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Now, the date that Paul set sail from Caesarea was probably late August or very early September. It's already a bad time to set out for Rome by ship because from September to November, it was considered somewhat of a dangerous time to sail. So this is one of the issues that they're having to face as they're trying to get Paul to Rome. So when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, to a city, Lycia. And there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. And when we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Sindus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. There was actually a straight shot that you could have made if the winds were favorable, but the winds were not favorable, so they had to sail back out and then around the backside of Crete, and then they're seeking to come around that way. So they're really having to navigate their way. It's not an easy journey by any means at this point. And so passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives." Now, notice Luke tells us the fast had passed. And this was a reference to the Jewish Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And so this would have occurred in this particular year. It was probably 59 AD. It would have occurred early in October. Some say October 5th and 15th. So now at this point, as Luke tells us here, it's dangerous to sail at this point because the weather is unpredictable. And so they evidently have a council meeting. And Paul, interestingly, is brought into this meeting and asked for his advice. Now, this is a bit of an unusual thing. Of course, when you're a prisoner of Rome, you're not usually asked for advice about traveling. But evidently, they knew that Paul was probably the most seasoned traveler among them. And so they asked Paul's advice. Paul gave his advice. But evidently, at this point, they didn't think that Paul was accurate. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. So having stayed in this place for a while, they realized once winter set in that the harbor was not protected well enough. It wasn't going to be a good place to stay. So what they were doing is attempting to sail just probably about 40 miles up to another location off of Crete and to spend the winter there. So the south wind, when it blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So suddenly, just seemingly out of nowhere, this wind breaks out upon them. And the term Euroclydon means northeastern wind. And there was a strong northeastern wind that was notorious for creating havoc on the seas that would just suddenly come down, and that's what's happened to them now. The south wind was blowing softly. They thought, oh, this is perfect. This is going to get us, it won't be any time, and we'll be safe in that harbor for the winter, and everything's going to be great. They're sailing along, and suddenly this northeastern gale begins to blow upon them. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. So the dinghy, they brought the dinghy on board to the ship. It's so interesting how Luke is just describing in detail all of the things that were happening. And he was evidently part of this crew that was securing the skiff. He said it was a difficult thing to do. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. And fearing lest they should run aground on the Sistrus sands, they struck sail and were so driven. So the danger was that the ship itself might be broken up by the violence of the sea. And so what they would do is they would take cables or strong ropes, and they would put the cable over the bow and then bring it back and then at the stern and bring it to the center of the ship. And then they would tighten it down. And this served as a brace for the ship to keep it from just sort of breaking apart. So they're taking all the precautions possible. And they're afraid that they're going to be driven aground on the Sistrus sands. Now, this was a place that was notorious for shipwreck. It's off the coast of northern Africa. And because the wind was blowing in that direction, they were fearful that they were going to be blown to the Sistrus sands and be shipwrecked there. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship, On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" And so here's Paul, the prisoner, now turned captain of the ship. He's in charge at this point. Everybody else has given up. They're completely lost hope that they're going to survive this thing. But Paul stands up and he takes charge. But he does this, of course, because God has spoken to him. And so he was confident, as he says here, "I believe what God told me, and so take heart. And yet there is going to be some difficulty ahead." So now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, we cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff, and it fell off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So once again, Paul is in the driver's seat. He just as God's man, he's there and raised up to encourage these men to get them to eat. And they're all following his lead. They're taking encouragement from what he's saying. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship, and so it was that they all escaped safely to land. And so just as Paul had promised, we're going to suffer loss of the ship, but not of life. And just as he said, all of them made it safely to the land. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. Now, here's the amazing thing. The direction of the wind coming out of the north and out of the east, it seemingly would have blown them in probably a different direction. But actually, they were, in a sense, right on course. They were blown right toward their destination. They had a minor, diversion here, But nevertheless, they weren't blown toward the African coast like they feared, but instead they were carried along and they come to Malta, which isn't that far from where they're headed. They're headed, of course, to Rome. And so this is where they ended up. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire, made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But Paul shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Such is the fickleness of man. He's a murderer. Oh no, he's a god. And in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Now, he was actually, this is an official title, so he was a Roman official. Probably not a Roman himself, but he was the designated sort of governor of the island by the Romans, or the governor of that particular region of the island anyway. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So Luke here, he gives us, you know, an overview of what happens there. He gives us a little bit of information about some of the ministry that Paul carried out there. But Luke doesn't really go into any detail about any evangelistic effort on Paul's part or any conversions that took place. But I think we could certainly say that Paul indeed ministered the gospel. He would not have simply healed someone without sharing the gospel with them, giving them the impression that he just happened to possess some healing powers. So in all of this, you can be sure that Paul was ministering the gospel to these people as he was sharing with them, as he was praying for them, and as they were being touched by the Lord. Now, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers which had wintered at the island. So they spent 3 months then on Malta. And Luke tells us that the Alexandrian ship had on the bow, you know, the figurehead was the twin brothers, and these were Castor and Pollux. They were from the Greek and Roman mythologies, believed to be the sons of Zeus, and they were sort of the protectors of the seamen. And so Luke just simply informs us that that was the ship that they were on. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. Now, Syracuse is on Sicily. So now they're right at the tip. Of course, Sicily is part of Italy, but it's disconnected from the mainland. So they're now at the tip of Italy at Syracuse for 3 days. And from there, we circled round and reached Rhegium. And after one day, the south wind blew, and the next day, we came to Puteoli, which would be near Naples, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. So after probably 6 months or more from their departure from Caesarea, they now finally arrive in Italy. And notice verse 14, they were greeted by brethren. So there in Puteoli, they came into contact with a body of believers, with a body of Christians. And I can imagine the reception that Paul and Luke and Aristarchus would have received, especially when these believers found out that this was the Apostle Paul. You see, he had written the letter to the Romans already, and his reputation, his fame as an apostle, all of that would have, of course, been very familiar to everybody. But now, here he is. He comes into our town. They must have been completely amazed to have Paul there with them. And so he stayed with them for 7 days. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. So they're now 30 miles or so from the capital. And when Paul saw that, he thanked God and he took courage. So somehow now the word is spread that they're there. And so now more are coming to meet them. And so when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." And then they said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you, but we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, Christianity, we know that it is spoken against everywhere." So these are the leaders of the Jewish community. And they're saying, look, we don't know anything about what's happened to you, but we want to know about this sect. We want to know what you think about it, because it's being spoken against everywhere. And of course, being spoken against would have been in the context of the Jewish community. They were, as we know from our studies, they were the ones that were the most antagonistic to the message. And so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him in his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophets to our fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." So here we see Paul's, and to some extent, the Holy Spirit's final appeal to the Jewish nation. Paul lays it out, spends the entire day taking them through the scriptures and showing them the truth about the Messiah, that the Messiah had to suffer and die, and then showing them that Jesus of Nazareth, he had to have been the Messiah. He met all of the requirements. All of the prophecies were fulfilled in him. And some believed, but evidently there were many that did not believe. And so now Paul, he really pronounces a judgment on them, and he does so by going back to Isaiah. Because he says, notice, "Therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." So it's almost like from this point on, that will now be the emphasis. Remember, it would have been just a brief 9 years later that Jerusalem would have been leveled. The temple would have been destroyed, and the Jewish remnant would have been led away captive after many were slaughtered when the Romans came and and overthrew Jerusalem. So the judgment is about to fall. And so Paul speaks very firmly to them. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves.
We'll return with the conclusion of our study here in the book of Acts in our next lesson, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Sailing with Paul and Jesus. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3141. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.